two statements which he made to the interviewer of the Montreal Gazette. Carlos said, "In this world, I have nothing that I can call mine." And the second statement, "Each day I get up, I know I may be killed that day." Think of it, two statements of a young man. "There is nothing that I can call mine in this world. Today may be my last day." And those statements of Carlos set me to think about discipleship. What a commitment on the part of this young man to give up all the pleasures, challenges, fame of this life and to give himself totally to a cause, a hopeless cause. And I was thinking of Christians, the disciples of Jesus Christ. How we are so characterized, because it is characteristic of my life, the desire and the association for things, and also the value that we attach to our lives. How much time and energy we spend in seeking ways and means by which we can acquire things, make our lives comfortable, and also ensure that our life is safe and secure. Tonight, I would like for us to consider for a little while on discipleship. And before we do that, let us turn into God's Word as found in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and up to verse 26. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. "Them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." May we pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for this land of liberty and freedom. We thank Thee for the facility we have tonight to gather without any restriction to consider the claims of Jesus Christ. As we look into Thy Word tonight, we pray that Thou wilt speak to our individual hearts, and we pray that our discipleship would be better and our commitment would be greater to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may be true and loyal witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. For we ask this prayer in Jesus Christ's worthy name. Amen. It is told of the famous Italian general Garibaldi, while he was preparing to liberate his country from foreign invaders, during those days of preparation, he met a group of young people. He turned to them and said, "Young men, will you join me in liberating our country?" The young fellows turned to Garibaldi and said, "What do you have to offer us if we have to join your army?" And Garibaldi said, "I offer you no food, no pay, and no quarters. Instead, I offer you suffering, battle, and death. He who loves his country, not by his lips alone, but in his heart, let him follow me. Amazingly, the story goes on to say, all those young men followed Garibaldi in his mission to liberate his country. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, turning to a large multitude of people who were impressed by his miracles and his great deeds, also laid very serious, demanding and hard conditions in order to follow him and be his disciples. We read in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. When the Lord Jesus Christ was becoming increasingly popular, when great multitudes began to follow him, turned to them and said, there is a cost to be paid in order to be my disciple. Very contrary to the practices that we are accustomed to, that the fashion of the day today is to make it a little easy. It is to water down our conditions a little so that we can have our churches packed and our pews full. We don't mind compromising. We don't mind doing certain things in order that our programs are made attractive merely to attract the people. We have something to take note of, dear friends, tonight as we look in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not particular that he had a vast group of people to follow him. He was interested that those who followed him knew what it was to follow him, the cost that had to be paid. And so turning to the multitudes, he said that if you want to be my disciple, you have to consider the cost. Praise God. Salvation is a free gift. That's what we read right across the holy pages of the Word of God. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But along with that invitation and that great offer, there is also discipleship which demands a great cost. I wonder oftentimes, why is that many people and many of us Christians find our Christian life unattractive and not challenging? And perhaps one of the reasons may be because we have not been able to pay and satisfy the demands of discipleship. We want to make it here and have the best that this world offers, as well as what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer us. And therefore we lose out, and our Christian life is so monotonous, drab, and uninteresting. Christian life becomes exciting and challenging and satisfying only when we satisfy the demands of discipleship. And what are the demands of discipleship? Tonight we have, in this passage that we have read, three things that we need to take note of. First of all, discipleship demands that we know what it is to deny self. Verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Discipleship means denying self. I have a portion, an extract here, which gives a beautiful commentary on this element of discipleship, namely denying self. Denying self means dying to self. And what does dying to self mean? The author writes, when you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught and you do not sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good work is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any unpunctuality, or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer yourself in conversation or to record your own good words or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? I think that speaks very eloquently on the theme of dying to self. I also think of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, those few hours before the awful death on the cross. We have the Lord Jesus Christ uttering that prayer. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let thine be done. I believe the essence of dying to self is to come to that point when we can say, Lord, let thy will be done. I'm sure we agree we haven't learned adequately the secret of dying to self. If we have, how do we account for the conflicts that we encounter in our assemblies? What answer do we have to explain the conflicts that we see between God's people? Fellow believers, how do we account for the misunderstandings that are so rampant these days among God's people? What is responsible for splits and break-offs and divisions? Isn't it because we have not learned the secret of dying to self. Again, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful leader and teacher he was. As we look into his life, he so beautifully exemplified how to die to self. Let's look into a few examples. In Matthew chapter 4, we have an instance where the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated denying self. Chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We know the story very well. The Lord Jesus Christ had been fasting. He's in the wilderness. And Satan comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Exercise your authority and power and turn these stones into bread." Now there's nothing wrong in feeling hungry, nothing wrong in eating food. But here was a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ did not exercise his authority and power for his personal satisfaction or personal gratification. Denying self. And very often we see Christians, when we come into leadership positions, or when we have the responsibility of the allocation of resources of God's people, we are tempted to use it for our own personal convenience and satisfaction. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we have another instance of the Lord Jesus Christ again dying to self. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." The Lord Jesus Christ denied himself the right to retaliate. Then in John chapter 6, we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ denying himself the privilege of being a popular person. The miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ attracted a lot of attention and also attracted a lot of loyalty and willingness on the part of the multitude to follow him and accept and acknowledge Jesus Christ as their leader. But we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 6, when he perceived that they were going to make him the king, he departed by himself. And again in John chapter 5, he denied himself the right or the privilege of being approved by men. The Lord Jesus Christ did not seek the approval and honor of men. And he could turn to the Pharisees and look into their faces and say, "You desire the honor of men and not the praise of God." It is the characteristic feature of a disciple of Jesus Christ not to exercise power and authority for self-gratification. It is a characteristic of the Lord, of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to retaliate when reviled, offended, and persecuted. It is the characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ to deny the privilege of being popular and obtaining the approval of men. And how much time and energy we spend in order to groom our personalities to make ourselves a little more impressive so that we could obtain all these things that I have spoken against. I'm not suggesting that we be odd people. I'm not suggesting that we put ourselves in places where we have to cut a sorry figure. But I'm suggesting that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we possess distinctives that were part and parcel of our Master and our Lord. The second demand of discipleship, as we find in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Cross bearing is another demand of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told of Raymond Lull, one of the earliest missionaries to the Muslims. He says, one day in a dream, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ come to him and say, Raymond, carry this cross for me. And Raymond says, he refused the Lord Jesus Christ, his invitation to carry the cross.